You turn to James chapter 1. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the study tonight. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your truths. Lord, we thank you again for this book of James, this very practical book. And we ask, Lord, as we go through it tonight, that we would learn about Reuben, Lord, and how we can avoid some of the mistakes that he made. Lord, we know that you want to perfect the Lord Jesus Christ in each and every one of us. Lord, help us to be open and willing to let you do that. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 1, we will pick up with verse 6 this evening. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Actually, let's back up to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. If you're following along in the study guide, we're up to lesson one. So the first few pages there, by way of introduction, we have covered those already. We are up to lesson one, the characteristics of Reuben. The characteristic of Reuben is instability. Martin Luther said, human nature is like a drunk peasant. Lift him into the saddle on one side, over he topples on the other side. Kent Hughes said in Disciplines of a Godly Man, church attendance is infected with a malaise of conditional loyalty which has produced an army of ecclesiastical hitchhikers. The hitchhiker's thumb says, you buy the car, pay for repairs and upkeep and insurance, fill the car with gas, and I'll ride with you. But if you have an accident, you are on your own, and I'll probably sue you. So it is with the credo of so many of today's church attenders. You go to the meetings and serve on the boards and committees. You grapple with the issues and do the work of the church and pay the bills, and I'll come along for the ride. But if things do not suit me, I'll complain and probably bail out. My thumb is always out for a better ride. Instability. Instability is the characteristic that we are looking at tonight. It is something that you do not want in your life. The main reason for the testing of the believer is that so that our character can be perfected. And as we understand this, we can see that the purpose of testing through the book of James will have characteristics revealed. These characteristics, many times we'll need to alter them. We'll need to change them. The weaknesses of character, we want to eliminate. We want those changed by God. But the strength of character that God wants us to have will become even stronger and more pure. That's our goal. We will be the sons of spiritual Israel in these last days. God will have a people. He will. We might as well be along. God is going to have a people, and he will fulfill his purpose in this century. The first message came in the Old Testament by Jacob. As we said, that Jacob is the Old Testament Jacob, and James is the New Testament Jacob. And the New Testament Jacob, James, takes the very same characteristics that the Old Testament Jacob talked about with his sons. His sons failed. But we have another chance as the spiritual sons of Jacob, that in these last days, the characteristics are going to be the same. Only this time, we must not fail. So as we read in the book of James, this is the message that is coming to us, the same message that's taken from Genesis 29 by the design of the Holy Spirit is repeated for us and expounded on in the book of James in the New Testament. So I want to prepare you that character changes will come. All right? Hold on. There will be things that we need to change and eliminate from our lives, and there are other traits that we have that will be strengthened and purified even more so. Turn back to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, and we'll look at verse 34. Remember in Genesis 49, Jacob had gathered all his sons together to give them a blessing, but he also warned them of things that they needed to change that would destroy them. Okay, Genesis chapter 49 and verse 34. Here he is speaking, not verse 34, verses 3 and 4. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Boy, how would you like that blessing? Reuben, you're as unstable as water. And because of your instability, you're not going to excel. You're not going to fulfill God's purpose in you if you don't change this instability. Because of Reuben's instability, he forfeited his rights of the firstborn. He was the firstborn, but because of his instability, simply because of that, he lost the rights of the firstborn. It was the characteristic of the firstborn to have certain rights. These rights there are mentioned in verse 3, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. According to the rights of the firstborn, he had the right of might. He had the right of strength. But because of his instability, he lost the birthright and the double portion that was always due the eldest son. The eldest son was supposed to get double the portion, twice the inheritance. As Reuben, as the eldest son, he had the right to excel. As the oldest son, he had the right to the birthright privilege. He would have a double portion. He would have might and strength beyond that of his brothers. But because of his instability, he lost it all. He lost his birthright. He lost his double portion. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. It took place in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 22. It says, and it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. And then it names, this says, now the sons of Jacob were 12. So we see that Reuben lost his birthright. He lost the double portion. So it was given to Joseph and his two sons. Reuben also had another birthright privilege, and that was the excellency of dignity. That had to do with the priestly function. The eldest son was to become the patriarch, the head and priest of the family. The head of family, the family was always the priest of the family. But Reuben, because of his instability, he lost that as well. The eldest son had that privilege, that responsibility of priesthood. But there was a dignity that came along with that. Reuben lost all of that as well. In fact, the priestly line was given to his brother Levi and to Levi's sons. The eldest son was also to have excellency of power. That meant the ruling privilege and authority. That he lost, and that was given to Judah. How sad that simply because of his instability, Reuben lost it all. He lost his birthright. He lost his double portion. He lost his might and strength. All that was to be his, he lost it. He lost his priestly privilege, and he lost his authority. God help us that we as spiritual Reubens, we will not forfeit our spiritual birthrights, that we will not forfeit our spiritual double portion of God, because we are to be the double portion of the last day's people, that we will not forfeit our spiritual might and strength, that we will not forfeit our acceptability of worship and our priesthood duty before God, that we will not forfeit our spiritual authority and power that God wants us to have, that we would not fail to be spiritual Reubens, the firstborn. Now, there are many things that we lose because of instability. But we won't lose those things if we allow God to change our character. If we allow God to make us stable, we won't lose those. But let me tell you this, if you are unstable, if you are characterized by instability, God will bring testing into your life so that he can build stability in you. That is the purpose for testing. The purpose for testing in the book of James is to build the character of Christ in us. And if we are unstable, he will bring testing in our life so that he can change that instability and cause us to be stable. The verses that we read there in James covers the Reubenite characteristic, and it deals with it. And James will follow the exact pattern all the way through the book of James that Jacob of the Old Testament took in Genesis 49. So again, Reuben is the oldest son. His characteristic is instability. It's the characteristic that God wants to change in us through times of testing. So Jacob's message to his sons of natural Israel in Genesis 49, verses 3 and 4, covers the Reuben characteristic. Because of his instability, Reuben forfeited the rights of the firstborn. Four rights: might, strength, dignity, which is priestly, and power, which is ruling. You know that we can forfeit our spiritual birthrights through sin, just like Reuben. We can forfeit the birthrights that we have and the power that comes, that God wants to give to us through instability. And the warning of instability is developed by James in three pictorial images. First of all, verses 6 and 7, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So the first picture we have here of instability is the restless sea. Number one, the restless sea. The restless sea is tossed to and fro in storms and tempest. You've seen tempests or storms on TV with hurricanes. The waves come crashing in. The waves go high up against the rocks, and there's water that spray that goes in all directions. The picture is of a restless sea in the time of storm. You know, I found that very interesting and significant that James uses the same symbolic picture of water as Jacob did in the Old Testament with his prophetic word to Reuben. He said, Reuben, you're as unstable as water. This is given to us so we can't miss it. Whether we are Jew or Gentile, we're able to catch the picture that God does not want us to live a life of instability. Reuben, you are as unstable as water. And there might be some here tonight, you are spiritual Reubenites. You're unstable as water. You're like the waves of the sea, tossed by the winds of adversity and by the tempest of the storms. When storms come, you're sprayed in all directions. You're not stable. You're not able to handle the storms of life, but they bring instability into your life. And with each of these pictures, James also gives us a key to the reason why people have instability. The cause of instability here is looking at circumstances rather than God. If you look at circumstances rather than God, you will be unstable. It's like Peter when he was trying to walk on the water. If he would have kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have been able to walk on water. He would have been able to stand firm. He would have been stable. But when he started looking at the waves all around him, fear started gripping his heart and he began to sink. And that's what our tendency, when the storms of life come around us and the winds of adversity begin to howl, we start looking at the circumstances and we get our eyes off God, and before you know it, we're sinking. We're as unstable as the water around us. So looking at circumstances rather than God will cause you to be unstable. Verse 6 tells us that it is because of the wavering of our faith that we become as unstable as water. The word wavering there means to judge in all directions from one central point. To judge in all directions from one central point, that central point is you. So the picture is this: you are having testings and trials and storms and winds of adversity upon you. But instead of asking God in faith for your needs, you start wavering in your faith. What does that word there mean, waver? Same thing. To judge in all directions from one central point. The picture here is of judging the circumstances around us. So you ask God, God, I need so much money. I need such and such dollar amount to be able to get my car fixed. I don't have enough in my checkbook, and I'm not going to have enough in my paycheck this week to pay for the car to be fixed. But I need to have that car in order to go to work, because if I don't have that car, I won't be able to go to work and I won't get a paycheck. So God, I have a real problem here. So what should you do? You want to ask God in faith. However, you start looking at the circumstances around you and you begin to look in all directions. And it seems that the circumstances make the situation impossible. And so you want to pray and you want to ask God to meet your need and provide the money for you to be able to pay for the car repairs. But you look at the circumstances and you say, I only have this much money and I only have this much coming in. And in the natural, it looks impossible. So when we go to prayer, we already have doubt. We already stuck with doubt. We are judging in all situations, in all directions, our circumstances, rather than simply asking God in faith in spite of the circumstances. If we look at the circumstances, we start doing the arithmetic, we are going to be as to waver and be as unstable as water. One reason why you may have instability in your character has been because in times of testing, instead of simply asking God in faith, when we come to something that tries our faith and believing God in spite of our circumstances, instead we start judging our circumstances. You say, how many of you ever heard under the circumstances? How you doing? I'm okay. Under the circumstances. See, there you judge your circumstances. You judge the circumstances. You say, it's impossible for this to happen. God, I'm asking you for this, but I don't see how you're going to do it. It seems to be impossible. And then we have a hard time exercising the prayer of faith. When we judge our circumstances, we allow our faith to waver, because we start looking from a natural perspective rather than trusting God. Looking at circumstances rather than God, judging our circumstances rather than asking in faith and continuing to trust God, will cause you to be unstable. Now I've got to admit, these are difficult things. Because I do the same thing. I got a bill coming up. I start going to the checkbook to see if I have enough money to cover it. I start adding up the paychecks and dollar amounts. When this bill is due, am I going to have enough money to be able to pay for this bill? And then I get down on my knees and I say, oh God, please supply this need. But I'm judging by my circumstances. I'm already worried about it. The Bible says that we cannot pray in faith when that happens. The instability of a doubter in times of tempest and storm is compared to the restless sea stirred by the wind in its billowing and surging. The second pictorial picture there is of the restless soul. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Unstable. The word double-minded is double-souled. So the double mind means the double-souled man. What does it mean to have a double soul? It really means to have two souls. A person that is unstable is like they have two souls. They don't really have two souls, but it's like you do. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So you have one set of mind, will, and emotions for God, and you have another set of mind, will, and emotions for other times, for other situations and circumstances. We come to church, we're challenged by the message, we're blessed by the singing and the worship, we're challenged by testimonies that are given, and there's an emotional response that comes from us. We get excited. We may weep a little bit. We might cry. We might laugh. There's a clear desire there that we want our mind and our will and our emotions to serve God. Because deep down, we really do want to serve God. But then we have another set of mind, will, and emotions that wants to serve the world or to serve ourselves as well. And so there's this conflict between the soul, between the spiritual and the carnal man. At one moment, the spiritual man is winning. When we're at church, the spiritual man is winning. We're in the presence of God, the spiritual man is winning. But then when we get out in the world, all of a sudden, we start doing carnal things. We begin to do things that we know are displeasing to God. And so we're torn back and forth, back and forth. Our emotions go back and forth, back and forth. There's no consistency in our spiritual life. It's a two-souled man, a double-souled man. A set of mind and will and emotions for God, another for self. What is the cause of this instability? It is lack of full surrender to God. Instability here is shown to be the result of one who feeds two souls. If your problem is one of being unstable, then you have to get serious before God and fully surrender yourself to God. When you do, you can become a one-souled man or woman whose mind, will, and emotions are after God only. The verses 9 through 11 show the opposite picture. We have the illustration of stability that God wants in his people through character change, where it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Here's the kind of stability God wants us to have. Whether you are in a low position or a high position, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You don't gripe, you don't complain, no matter what your position is. Whether it's in the church or in the world, you are just satisfied with what God has given, content with what he has given. See, God wants to take the double soul out of you and give you just a soul for him. Now, the reason he brings testing into your life is so that you will learn this and that he can change your character and you can become what he wants you to be. He wants to take away the Reubenite characteristic of instability through the process of testing. Because as the flower of the grass shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Now in verses 13 through 16, we see the real cause of the root nature of that second set of mind, will, and emotions. Remember, the second set wants to serve the world, wants to serve self, may even want to serve Satan to a degree. The problem is lust and desire. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So we see what happens to a two-souled man who is not fully surrendered to God. The problem there is lust. The word lust means desire. Now, desire in itself is not wrong. Desire, just that word desire, is not sin. Desire is like a vacuum in every man. When Adam sinned and sin was imputed to all men, the image of God and the human spirit, which affects the soul and body, became darkened. And there became a vacuum. There became an empty place in the heart of every man. That vacuum can only be filled and fulfilled by God. But men try to fill the vacuum, the void in their life, and they do it in different kinds of ways. They do it with sin and getting close to the world. And they think, oh, if I only could do this, or if I only had this, I would be happy. And whatever I was lacking, I wouldn't feel like I was lacking anymore. I'd be satisfied. But you know as well as I do that sin never satisfies. And you can never get enough to fill the void, to fill the vacuum. God is the only one who can fill the vacuum in our life. But so the desire to have that fulfillment is not sin. But sin is desire under deception. Sin is the result of the desire under deception. Verse 14 then says, out of this deception, desire is enticed. There is a deceiving, a seducing that takes place by Satan. Now, Satan knows your areas of weakness, and he just tempts you right along those lines. He entices you right along those lines. It's our own lust that does it, but Satan knows just what areas we're lustful in. He knows where our desires lie. We need to be careful in our lives that we are not seduced, that we are not deceived into sin. Because Satan is in the seducing business. When we listen, when we give ear to the enemy, we become seduced. We need to be very careful in our own lives, in the lives of our children, in the lives of loved ones, what we allow into our home by way of television, by way of radio. We need to be careful what we allow. And we might think we're strong enough, but Satan is a master at deception. He's a master at seducing. We have to watch the reading materials that come into our home. The world that does not know God is constantly trying to entice you, trying to get you into its mold, try to corrupt your desires and deceive you. I mean, you can't even go down the road anymore. You see bulletin boards. And we are bombarded with the enticement of the world. The enemy says, listen, if you do this, if you think this evil thought, it will fill the vacuum and desire in your heart. It's a lie. Because the only thing that can satisfy the desire of the heart is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what I had also discovered? That God is trying to entice us. God wants to fill the vacuum in our heart. We read in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 14 where God was speaking to his people. He says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her." God uses enticements to try to woo us into his presence. Satan comes to entice us, to get us to sin. God comes, he tries to entice us, to get us to be drawn closer to him. So we have the restless sea as one picture. We have the restless soul as another picture. And the third picture that we have is of the restless heavens. The restless heavens. Verses 17 and 18 there of James chapter 1. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." There are two characteristics that are not found in the Father of lights. The idea of light goes back to Genesis where, chapter 1 and verse 3, where we have God creating the heavens and the earth. The picture is of the light of the stars and the sun and the moon. He's the Father of lights. He created the star. He created the sun and the moon. He's the Father of lights. And then these two characteristics described in verse 17. Variableness and shadow of turning. They're two astronomical terms. The word variableness in the Greek means an apparent change in position of an object due to the change in position of the observer. Now that's going to be very important. An apparent change in position of an object due to the change in position of the observer. If you were to go, say, to the West Coast and were to look up at the night sky, you would find the Big Dipper in a different place than where you would see it on the East Coast. Would the heavens have changed? No, the heavens didn't change. The stars are in the same place. What has happened is you have changed. You have changed locations. The variableness would not be due to the object, but it would be due to the change in the position of the observer. This is the idea here. You go to the different parts of the world and you see that the heavens look different in the star arrangement. It's not that they have changed, it's that your position as the observer has changed. Variableness then comes because of our change, not God's, our change. There is no change in God's position. Now when we're on top of things, we're rejoicing in trials. We see things from a certain perspective. But sometimes, remember, we go through those diverse trials, those different colored trials. Remember we talked about that? The blue Mondays and the black Tuesdays and the red Wednesdays and the green Thursdays. Has God changed? No, God has not changed during those days. We say, "God, you've changed. What's going on here? What are you doing to me now? Why have you brought these things into my life?" No, it's not that God has changed. The change in variableness comes because the change of the position of the observer. They come because we change our way of looking at things. The second term is their shadow of turning. This really means a shadow cast by turning. The word was a Greek term for an eclipse. It was the shadow made by a heavenly body and it's turning a revolution. Like when we have the moon eclipsed by the earth. No shadows come into our life by his turning, but by our turning. When it seems like the moon is dark or the sun is dark, as in a solar eclipse, and it isn't because they are no longer shining. The sun continues to shine. The moon continues to shine. It appears dark to us, but it only appears dark because something has gotten in the way. We have allowed something to get in the way. When things get dark in your life, God has not changed. He is still the same, but what has happened is we have allowed things to block our view of Him. We have allowed things to come into our path so that we cannot see Him clearly. Why has this instability come? Variableness, variation is not found in God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are not found in the Father of lights, but they may be found in us. And the cause of this instability is then allowing cares and interests other than God to turn our hearts from Him. Or allowing cares and interests and other things to block our view from God, hinder us from seeking Him. The instability of man is likened to the heavenly bodies. Astral terms are used, such as that of an eclipse, to show that variableness is a characteristic of them. This, however, is not found in God. In verse 18, God says that He wants us to be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. This is kind of a play on the idea of Reuben, who was the firstborn. First fruits. Out of the loins of Jacob. He was the eldest son. And God is saying through Jacob to his son Reuben, you're my firstborn. You are the firstborn of my loins. You are the eldest son. You have a special birthright. You have a double portion. You have the priestly privilege to authority and power. But you're as unstable as water. And Reuben, if you are not careful, you are going to blow it. You are going to lose it all. You are going to lose all the rights of the firstborn. And you know what? God comes to us tonight and He says, you are my firstfruits also. You are the firstfruits of my creation. You have a special place in this world. Each and every one of us are spiritual Reubenites. You have a spiritual power. You have a priestly privilege. You have a double portion. And you have birthright privileges. We should not allow circumstances, however, to allow us to become unstable. Because if we become unstable, like Reuben, we're going to blow it. We're going to blow it just like he did. And we will miss out on all the benefits of being firstborn. First of the creatures. Let's not allow circumstances to get us from looking at God. Let's not waver in doubt by judging our circumstances instead of exercising the prayer of faith. Let's not allow a lack of full surrender to cause us to be unstable. Let's not be double-souled. Let's not have those two sets of emotions. You know if you do or not. You know if you have a set of emotions for when you come to church and a different set for the rest of the week. Don't allow that to hinder you from receiving all that God wants you to receive. And let's not allow cares and interests other than God to turn our hearts from seeking Him. If there are things right now that are blocking your path of God, blocking your view of God, I would just challenge you and encourage you tonight to get rid of those things, to throw them to the side. Don't let them cause you to become unstable. Let the instability go so that we can be people who will fulfill God's purpose in these last days. So that we will be a kind of first fruits of His creature. So that we will be people of power, people of priestly privilege, people of double portion, birthright people, and fulfill His purpose as sons and daughters of spiritual Israel in these last days. So if you're unstable, you can look at it by those three pictures that we gave you. The restless sea, the restless soul, and the restless heavens. And the cause of our instability is because we judge circumstances, or we have a double soul, or things in our life are blocking us from seeing God. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? The characteristics of Reuben is instability. This might not be you. You might not be unstable. But if you are, I want you to know what's going to happen. The Lord will allow you to go through times of testing. You can react during those times of testing, or you can realize the purpose for the testing is to bring stability in your life. I hope you would cooperate with God and allow Him to build the stability. If you are unstable, would you right now say, Lord, this is a characteristic, this is a weakness that needs to be changed and eliminated in my life. Now, if you're here tonight and you are stable, then allow this message to strengthen that character, strengthen the characteristic of stability. And that it might become even more pure. Lord, tonight, you know where we are at. You know if we are unstable, if we are tossed to and fro, or you know tonight if we have stability. Lord, for those tonight that are unstable, I pray, Lord, that you would help them and that you would build stability in their life, that the next time they feel like the restless sea, instead of judging the circumstances around them, they would ask you in faith, nothing wavering, no doubts, for what they need. And as they feel double-minded, I pray, Lord, that they would immediately recognize that, that they would say, Lord, I commit my soul to you. And I'm only going to have one set of emotions. My mind, my will, my emotions will be directed toward you. And Lord, as they feel like the restless heavens, they would realize that you haven't changed. It's them that has changed. And may they discover where they have changed and what things are eclipsing and blocking their view of you. And for those, Lord, who are stable, Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to be able to continue in that stability. Lord, that you could count on us as your first creatures. Lord, I pray then that you would pour out the rights that are ours as the firstborn. I pray, Lord, that you would give us all a double portion of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would help us in our worship of you. And I pray, Lord, that we would be as Jesus, that people would marvel that we talk as those that have authority. Bring that kind of power into our lives. For we ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.